How is everyone today? That enthusiastic, huh? It's Monday. Hey, Mark, how are you today?
Hey there, how's it going, Stephanie?
It's going good. It's snowing. I can see it out my window. It was a beautiful bluebird day yesterday on the mountain, which was amazing. So, and we have another storm coming in. So, I'm just looking out my window. Like, what am I? Mondays and Tuesdays are hard because I block all my calls on Mondays and Tuesdays. So, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, I do all my, I call it quiet work or deep work. So, I just write hair in a bun. You just sit down and you knock stuff out, which is great. And you also have a lot of flexibility if it happens to be a good snow day to just right hop out for a few hours and pick up later. Mondays and Tuesdays, I can't do that because I have calls. And it is, even though you do want a flexible lifestyle, it's really poor form to be like, yeah, I just didn't feel it today. The snow was better. So it's like, especially when you live in the snow, it's not like you're suffering. So yeah. Yeah, it was a good weekend here. Anyone have anything really awesome this weekend? Any fun adventures? Shift
I
my
had my 35th wedding anniversary.
Oh my God, who said that?
Mark Dutrum.
Mark, that is you don't even look old enough to. Did you get married at like 15?
I did 15 exactly.
Are
It's
you
not
serious?
ever too early.
My uncle-in-law, I guess it's my uncle-in-law, has been married for 60 years. They got married when she was 14 and he was 15, South Dakota.
My in-law is the same, over 60 years,
Yep,
and he claims
60.
the secret to a long marriage is two words: yes, ma'am.
That's probably very true. He needs to communicate that to my husband.
There you go.
Awesome. Well, any other 35 years is amazing, Mark. That is awesome. That is incredible commitment. We always, my husband and I heard a quote once I thought was really cool, which is marriage isn't about feelings, it's about commitment. Because I have to imagine that you didn't feel like being married every day for 35 days, for 35 years. Well, that's awesome. It's a little bit about the same formula for being successful in our practices, right? Just because we're not feeling it doesn't mean we shouldn't be doing it, right? It's not about feeling, it's about a commitment and what you're committed to. Hey, Adam, I see Adam here.
Hey,
How's it going
welcome
today?
everybody. Happy Monday. It is a recovery day for me. I was in Denver last Thursday and Friday. I'm president of FPA Indiana, so we had our chapter leadership conference, and Silver Lining ended up having dinner with Michael on Thursday night, so that made the trip a little extra enjoyable. But then got back late Friday night, and then hit the road to drive up to Chicago with Andrew and the girls for about 48 hours at Great Wolf Lodge. So anybody that has kids and has done the Great Wolf Lodge experience know that it is a very interesting dichotomy of an experience, because the kids have an absolute blast, but mom and dad, like, eyes are burning from chlorine after 45 minutes. It's so loud, it's stimulus overload, and your first like thought after maybe 10 minutes there is, where's the booze? But it was, in all seriousness, it was a good trip. The kids had a blast, and it was kind of our family get together, a holiday get together with my wife's dad's side of the family, because as most of us could probably attest, there are only so many weekends that work during the actual holidays for families to get together. This one got punted to the beginning of February, and here we are. So yeah, I got back late last night and rolling into a full calendar this week.
Awesome. So, right. Yeah, that's life, right? Work hard, play hard, have a good time, go back to work Monday morning, no matter what. Yeah. That's always the good time is when you play hard until late Sunday night. And then on Monday, I've reached that age where I'm like, I like the recovery day in between. You know, I used to vacation until the absolute last minute. And now I'm like, give me that day but home so I can just kind of get myself settled and start. I like a little bit of Michael calls it, you guys will think this is so cute coming from Michael. We were in one of our coaching calls and we were, you know, and he's like breathy. He said breathy, right? Like we just want things to feel breathier and spacier. I like that day. All right, a couple of housekeeping items, registration reminders. If you and or your team have not, go ahead and register for the Value Summit on March 11th. So Allison knows that you are coming. It particularly important to register for the live events if you in fact do plan on coming and having a seat. So the Lifestyle Delivering Value workshops are on the 20th and 21st of March. We're going through half day each on nailing your niche, telling your story, no stress prospect process. service model, meeting surges. So for those of you that are in Lifestyle Bundle and have workshops included, we're going to really, between Q1 and Q2, dive into the key lessons that you really need to apply to get to that limitless practice in life. And so workshops, for those of you who are coming, are phenomenal, because we are not going to be talking theory. Adam and I are going to give you about 30 minutes of warm up and refresh, and then it's going to be, right, we're going to dive in for a few hours, really breaking down those lessons, working through them, workshopping, talking to your peers, so that you can leave right on the 70 or 80 yard line, really knowing what you've built and designed conceptually. And now it's just putting the fine touches on it and taking it back. If you did not sign up for Bundle and you want to join us for a workshop, there are still a few of those seats available. So feel free to check in with the coaching inbox if you're interested in joining us to let the rubber hit the road, as we like to say. There are no excuses at workshops. There are only results. Upcoming coaching calls. We've got the breakthrough call tomorrow, week 2, on Mindset Makeover, for those of you that are doing that deeper dive. Someone did let me know, I totally wholly believe that feedback is your friend. And someone let me know that they were a little frustrated that they didn't know about breakthroughs in the beginning. And they had to get it on their calendar and they just had a miss, which is not a big deal because it's recorded. So if anyone else has had any questions or concerns in your mind about that, I just want to lead with abject radical honesty, which is, I decided at the last minute last year that I really wanted to do it. And we just had to get all the coaches and the dates together. So I think most of you have that information, got that information. But if you did not look at Inbox Insights or check emails from us, it is possible that you missed it. And I just want to make sure that no one misses it and gets frustrated unnecessarily. So tomorrow we're digging into Mindset Makeover and really talking about self-talk for success, which will wrap up the mindset module. And then we're going to be diving into vision. If you haven't joined us for Breakthrough, there's still plenty of time. And the next two calls are around vision and diving deeper into that. So if you're not clear about the what or the how, that'd be a great call to go to. And then our next call on mindset is Personal Peak on the 20th with Coach Liz, which is just a great place to, one, learn and listen, two, come with actual issues and questions. If you are staring at a blank page and going, I don't know, I promise you, that's a function of some headspace issue that you've got going on, because lots of people just pick stuff and go. We've given you a map to get up and go. It means that there's some resistance. If you're feeling overwhelmed still, if you're feeling frustrated, it means we've done exactly what we need to do, which is surface the resistance standing between you and action. If you don't know what it is, but you're feeling it, go to that call. That's what it's for. Let's unstuck you, or at least help you find that next best step. You can also always just jump on Tribe. I've been on there a lot. Adam has, the coaches have. Man, some very specific actionable conversations are happening on Tribe. Just reading them can elevate your practice. So there's just great stuff going on there right now. So kudos to those of you who are jumping in and asking questions, because you're getting really specialized advice from me and the other coaches to take that action. So if you haven't done that, your number one action item this week is to get yourself on Tribe. If you tell yourself, I'm not a Tribe person, I want you to replace that with, I'm not a get great value for the fee that I'm paying and elevate my life person. Because you're online all the time. It's a possibility. And then as usual, use Zoom for today's Q&A, and then Allison will make sure that Adam and I get to those sometimes, because I just have my double screens, Allison, so just let me know if we've got questions popping up. All right, any other housekeeping items? Allison, did I miss anything? Anyone else have any amazing announcements? All right, who's got a win for the week? Who's had a win since they started? I know there's a few of you. I've seen them on Tribe. Marianne, unmute yourself and share your win with your tribe.
I sent out my new fee schedule, and all but one person has responded with a thumbs up, signed the DocuSign. We had good meeting reviews and talked through the fact that I had sent them a DocuSign, so they actually absorbed it. They understand the fee change. They understand the why of the fee change. I am stuck on the one person, and so I'll probably, I did try and look at firing clients on Tribe, and I didn't get a whole lot. I ended up on XYPN forum for that, and I got a good fire a client letter that I made my own.
Well, one, that's a fantastic win. And it's February 5th. So we're 30 days in and you've pulled a really big lever. Adam certainly knows how big a lever that can be to pull. So
yeah,
one,
I don't think I did my fee raise until like August. So I think February 5th might take the cake as being the absolute quickest point of execution from concept to actual implementation. Yeah. So that is awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, it's something we're gonna talk about it in a little bit. But those of you that are waiting for some giant perfect plan to unfold before you take your next step, that is not the way to make progress. So we're gonna talk a little bit more about that. Steve and Misty, were you guys just high-fiving, Marianne, or did you have a win to share too?
I have one to share.
Let's hear it, Misty.
Since the last meeting, I hired somebody to read my emails and answer the phone and screen that out. So I hired my mom.
Yes.
She was working for my dad before he passed away and she was feeling kind of bored and you know, kind of didn't like really not having anything to do during the day. So set her up and got her onboarded. So now she's happy. I'll be able to pay her and I'm going to get a little bit of time back, which will be good.
Well, that's awesome. I love that you're taking action there. Congrats. Like sometimes it's just the first step is just momentum flywheel getting moving.
Yep.
Truly. Steven, how about you? Was that a high five or did you have a win too?
No, I mean, I guess it all can also be a high five, but
awesome.
We also had some good wins. I think on that momentum with the flywheel, we got really clear on our minimum fees for each of our different client segments. We have yet to do the repricing on there, but just getting clear for us, we moved a lot of those folks internally and it made us feel a heck of a lot better as far as how many clients we're serving in each of those segments. So that was really great to get that clear. And then we blocked out our surge schedule for the entire year on our calendars, on all of our team's calendars. And then we just introduced that to the whole team as of 10 o'clock Eastern this morning, and they were all on board for it. So that was
excellent.
Great.
Yeah. You should definitely attend the meeting surge lesson at Summit or go back and watch that with your team. The first one's the roughest, as we like to say. It's sort of like getting back into the gym for the first time. Adam will tell you, your peers will tell you, the more you prep on the front end and follow up, man, just be sure that you got a plan for follow up. So there's a lot of great content and resources there. I think, Adam, you're doing this summit session on surges, I believe. So Adam mm-hmm. can give you all his tips and tricks as well, because he's been doing them for what, five years, 6 years?
Yeah,
now?
About that, something like that. Yep. Yeah.
Well, I'm great. I'm glad to hear. I know there's a lot more wins out there. Definitely post them on Tribe. We're starting a new thing where we're going to go in each week and look at wins that are shared and give away swag, because you guys know I love giving away limitless swag. I'm always looking for new fun swag ideas. So if you're ever like sitting around going, oh, that would be cool swag, let us know. Because we like giving away swag, right? You're part of the community. All right. Who's ready for today? I didn't hear any whoop whoops. I just feel like my little energy battery just went, eh. I tell my kids I run on love. For you guys, I run on whoop whoops. Like, whoop whoop. All right.
Whoop.
Thank you, Tim. I appreciate that. Tim's
I'm
in it to win it.
I'm on Molokai, Hawaii.
Look, I got Don. I got Don giving me hands. I love it, Don. See, you guys are going to do great things this year. All right. Welcome to this month's Lifestyle Peak Practice Coaching Call, as will be the case for the balance of the year. These calls are really focused on your practice and unpacking the strategies, the solutions, the shortcuts, the hacks that can really help you apply what you're learning. We'll talk about topical things. We'll bring in outside guests, which we're doing today. We'll bring in cool concepts. This first quarter, we're really going to focus, as you've noticed, between this, the call topics and breakthrough, we're really focusing you on creating more mind awareness, clarifying that vision, building happy, what I like to call happy, high-performing habits and accountability systems, right? Those are those stakeholders in your success. And look, there it is. I'm so excited. I'm ahead of myself today, right? Clarifying your vision is your number one goal. That does not mean you need a 90-page business plan with every detail. It means you need something to galvanize your resources and focus on forward. It doesn't have to be a big growth number. It can be my big why, by the way, when I was younger, right? There was all kinds of income and money tied to it. And then you get to a point where it just changes. Adam, how many times has your big why changed over the last 5, 6 years?
So it's actually a really relevant question because that's, I don't remember exactly who it was. I apologize if you're likely on the call here. Someone posted that exact question in Tribe. It's like, how has your why changed over the time? And yeah, at the very beginning, it was about there was that very tangible, direct reason to,
$100,000.
yeah, it was all in, 100,000 plus. I mean, it was 140 all in when you took my wife's benefits, you know, the plus 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 that comes with earnings. But as you start kind of working, I always thought there was like this version of Pavlov's hierarchy, or not Pavlov, that's Pavlov's, the ringing dog, Maslow's, another different love, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? The business version of that, I feel like we could all probably create a different pyramid around that. For my, again, my personal example, that base pyramid was an exact quantifiable, direct solvable problem. I needed to make X. Now that we've filled that basic bucket of finishing that, and we've got our saving strategy and then all the, you know, check, 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 if I put myself as a client, now you start thinking about your business a little bit differently around the different freedoms that you can obtain and the different types of impact, dare I say a cliche buzzword, right? I want to have more impact. But in all honesty, that's just the evolution of what I personally experienced as the business continued to mature. And I matured with it as a business owner and as an advisor and a coach and all the different hats that I've worn. So now it's a matter of having more positive impact at scale in the optometric space. But here's what I will say. And this is, I'll make this last point and emphasize just how beneficial it was to be clear upon this. I know what I want the end result of the business to look like. I know what I want the business to look like. More importantly, I know what I don't want. I know myself enough to know that I don't want a big team. I don't want to, like Seth Streeter and Matt Adams, friends of ours from Mission Wealth, like Godspeed and good luck. They are phenomenal at running big enterprise firms. Ron Carson, awesome individual. And I'm not even remotely trying to put myself on in that aura or in that playing field, but I share that because those are advisors turned entrepreneurs that wanted to build a scalable and enterprise type practice. I don't want that. I want a team of five people, and we'll figure out the rest after that point. So I guess I share all that because my team shared with me at our last strategic planning retreat how beneficial and how comforting it was for them to know what my end game was in the practice. That when we get to this mark, that's going to be the business right now. Now, do I reserve the right to change that? Of course I do. That's one of the benefits that we have as business owners. But I can say right now, sitting in the seat, that I'm pretty darn convicted and clear that I know what I want the practice to look like, and therefore I also know what I don't want it to look like. So, long-winded explanation, you give yourself permission to know that the vision that you set for yourself today, the V1 of where you're at right now, is likely not going to be the same V2, V3, you know, vision two, vision three as you progress in the practice. But what will likely happen as you go through that process is you will start getting a better understanding of what you don't want it to look like going forward.
I love that. The big why not, right? I didn't start my practice to be overwhelmed, to be underappreciated by my clients, to have to defend my fees. That I don't think anyone joined for that, right? So that big why gets right more and more inspirational and less functional as you go. I think I shared with, I think it was someone, or maybe it was you in the last call, right? My big why right now literally is to live a big, bold, badass, beautiful life that lets me live and work on my terms and while having impact and to help others do the same. That's the call forward, right? My mission at a business level is to help growth-minded founders and right advisors elevate their work, wealth, and well-being, right? The vision, right, is to build a certain kind of company. Like you're just kind of iterating that what is pulling you forward, because what we're really talking about this month is implementing change. And I think you probably know by now that the odds of change are stacked about 9 to 1 against you, which is right in that 90 to 95% right habit zone that we talk about. If you spend 95% of your time in a habit zone and you're 95% likely to do today what you did yesterday, according to the research, what are the odds that you're actually going to implement change? That's what limitless is. It's a pattern interrupt where some part of you said, enough. I'm ready for the more and better that I believe is available to me. I'm going to go out and get some help and figure it out. That, by the way, is exactly what your clients do. So implementing change is about recognizing, like, once upon a time, we used to make fires by rubbing sticks together in a cave, and now we've got a Bic lighter or a blowtorch. So it's really about how do we work to clarify the changes we want to make, to Adam's point, with contrast. We know what we do want when we know what we don't want. And then how do we really start to make sure that we're together putting those into practice? Honest engines time. How many of you are feeling a little bit overwhelmed? Right? Most year one people, the first quarter, they're like, it's like going to Disneyland for the first time. You've got a map, but you're like, do I go to this neighborhood or do I go to that neighborhood? You've got the map, but you haven't had the experience yet. That discomfort and that uncomfort and that overwhelm you fear is your brain's version of the uncertainty story. When we start something new, we love to have the beginning, the middle, and the end completely mapped out. It increases the probability, right, that we don't get eaten along the way. The problem is, if we prescribe this exactly right for each of you, you'll all be on the exact same track, which is cool, except what Dave needs in quarter two is going to be different than what Steve needs or what Valeriana needs, right? Base camp is when we're all together, making sure we've got those foundations in place, and then you each kind of get to flow up the mountain from there through each of the summits. So just understand that that resistance that you're feeling is uncertainty. It's doubt. It's your brain saying something's changing. I don't feel prepared for it. I'm going to give you a reaction that says, right, stress, threat, danger. And your job is to get away from it. And you're doing the exact opposite thing. You're going to do what, anybody remember driver's ed? Is anyone else old enough to have been through actual driver's ed where they sat you in the box? Yes, it's not just me. In driver's ed, you remember the video? I don't know why I remember it, but I remember it vividly. Videos on the screen, we're on like ice and snow. This is the first time in my life I've ever lived in weather. I've always lived in sunny places, so it's finally coming to bear. And I remember the instructor, you know, they're like, when you hydroplane, you turn into the skid, right? Which means you turn the direction that you're veering out of control, which feels completely and utterly what? Unnatural. Your brain is like, go the opposite way when you're turning into the skid. It's the worst thing that you can do. And I remember we're driving along and we hydroplane and I turn away from the skid and the guy's like right over my shoulder and he's like, turn into the skid. And I was like traumatized. I was like, oh my God. But I remember it to this day. And it always reminds me of the change process. We're asking you to do the opposite of what feels safe and comfortable. Of course you feel overwhelmed. You just put your brain on notice that you're about to turn everything upside down and you don't have a 97-page map. By the way, no one has that map. I don't have it. Adam doesn't have it. We're giving you a huge, right, like, step up in the map that we're giving you. We're going to work with you to connect the dots and how you navigate that map. And that's the piece where you have to lean into the discomfort. Embrace this feeling. Literally, if you try to push it away or stuff it down, that resistance grows. Did you notice you get more frustrated or more overwhelmed? It's wow. How am I feeling? Feeling not good. Steph said, if I feel not good, that's the clue to check in. What am I not feeling good about? I feel overwhelmed. I don't know what to do next. Or what about this? Or what about that? And then your brain just starts chirping in your ear. Is this about how it's going for you guys, for some of you? The power question is, what's my next best step? So I'm going to show you in a minute. There is a map. You can just follow the map. You can't follow the map if you can't see the map through the background noise. It's like it's dark and it's raining. That's your brain putting the scary monster. It's dark, it's raining, you've got the visor down and this tiny little dim flashlight and you're trying to find the map. That's why the overwhelm story doesn't serve you. It's our job to sit in a space and say, absolutely, I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm feeling uncertain. What is behind that feeling? What's happening really, Jeremy? What's happening really, Margaret? I don't know what to do next, and I'm afraid that I just blew a bunch of money, or really behind that, maybe I'm even more afraid that nothing's going to change and I'm going to be stuck where I'm at. And that sucks. And I don't want to feel that way. I'm going to get mad about it. I'm going to frustrate. I'm going to get overwhelmed. I need to do something about it. And since I don't know what to do, right? Fear, uncertainty, doubt, anxiety, and stress seem like pretty good responses. That's
I'm going to need a
the
hand carrying this down.
depressed
It's just, it's
response.
pretty heavy.
Allison, can we mute whoever's having a very lovely conversation?
Yes, I did.
Right. That discomfort means, are you ready for this? It means that your up level is calling. It means that you don't know how to get to that up level. Surprise, most people don't. That's why there's coaches and consultants. And it's uncomfortable as you figure it out. Adam, have you been uncomfortable in your life as part of
Just a
your
few
success?
times.
Like once you got it figured out in quarter one, did everything just flow perfectly and seamlessly from there? Perfect map, no problems?
That's a big no.
No. If you don't get comfortable being uncomfortable, no progress or change can happen, which is why you're going to hear us constantly say, what's your next best step? A micro action keeps your brain from freaking out. Hey, you know what? I'm going to go back through the last call and I'm going to listen for what my next steps are. Hey, I'm going to do that email thing. Hey, I'm going to, that's what starting today I will is all about, is just Adam loves the story of the momentum flywheel, right? From was which one, Hedge the Hedgehog book?
Jim
Whatever.
Collins,
Jim
the
Collins,
monograph To
yeah.
Good to Great. It's
Yeah,
called
great.
Flywheel.
Right? The flywheel. That's our job. Once you get the flywheel turning, Adam doesn't sit around now going, oh my God, what? He just goes, what's the problem? What do I have to count for? Do I know the answer? Can I get the answer? Can I ask somebody to help me with the answer? Let's go. It's not overwhelming anymore because he's done it probably 150 times at this point, right? So you're getting in the habit of identifying the feeling. Notice there's a feeling. Identifying what's behind it, figuring out what you need to account for. Some of you, for example, went on Tribe and said, I'm really overwhelmed, and you got some very personal responses and went, oh my God, that was amazing. I don't feel overwhelmed anymore. Then you can figure out how to take action. Anytime that you're stuck, you just hear, especially, you ask for help. If you're not asking for help, said with love, there's a reason because there's no lack of offering on this side. There is a way you can come to a call, you can go on Tribe, you can email in. Like, there, if you ask for help, you will get help. So, this is just your opportunity to check your overwhelm story and recognize it's because we're about to drop you, right? We're dropping you in a foreign country. You've got a basic map, and you're going to have to figure out how to get to the other side. This is entrepreneur training. It's going to at moments be really uncomfortable. It's what we do with the discomfort that's going to determine the level of success that you create this year. A number of you, Leland, Matt, have gone on and who did the COI? Someone was like, I'm focused on COI campaigns while I get my plan put together. I went off and got a list of all the podcasts that talked about how to work with COIs and put it together. And I'm going to listen to like, I think it was like one a day, every day. Do you know how much knowledge is going to, and like inspiration and ideas is how to build relationships is going to come out of that action step? I could not have prescribed that to everyone, right? It's how you're going to interpret it and apply it. So as we go through kind of this conversation, I did create the shortcut for you. I sat down in 7 seconds and said, all right, if I'm implementing these lessons, cheat sheet, these action items are all on the website. But seeing it in one place gives your brain something. It gives your brain something that says, oh, okay. So we'll put this on the lessons. We'll put it in Inbox Insight. But if you are really stuck for the actions around the vision, time, and accountability, which is that focus this quarter, here is an action plan step by step that you can follow. Again, the actions, the resources, et cetera, are in the library under each lesson. But if we organize it for our brain, it calms down. Does anyone feel better just seeing it on a page? It's weird, isn't it? Like all I did was go, I'm just going to take the stuff on the pages we gave them and in the call, I'm just going to put it in the action plan. And I was like, oh, that's the missing piece. Now, future summits, because we're not all going to be on the same page, you're going to have to create your own action plan. Based on, hey, I thought service model and fees were where I need to spend my time this quarter. That's obviously what's going to be on my action plan. That's called discernment and judgment. And that's also a skill we want to help you develop this year because you're going to be doing it a lot as you own a business. Like every day for the rest of your life. And Adam and I will both tell you, you don't always know the right answer. Michael and I, you guys, I'm working on this really fun 10X idea, right? It'd be really cool. Michael and I were having a brainstorming session about it. This will make you feel so much better. I asked Michael a question, and do you know what he said? I don't know. I don't know if people will do that. And he said, what do you think? And I said, I don't know. It seems cool. I think it's going to be awesome. I have no idea if people will do that or pay that. We haven't done it before. He's like, great. Let's go figure it out. Michael and I sat in a call and went, I don't know. Do you know? Nope. I don't know. Let's figure it out together. The figuring it out part never ends. No one's ever going to give you a formula and a map and say, Rashani, if you follow these exact steps, I guarantee you it's going to be okay. If that existed, it would cost a lot more and everybody would be awesomely successful. Right? The differentiator between Adam and whoever doesn't achieve, right? Or me or the next person is that we're simply willing to do things that less successful or unsuccessful people aren't willing to do. That gap, that pause, that hesitation stops us. So there is an action plan for the quarter. You're going to start to see it everywhere. We're also putting together action plans for each of the summit lessons going forward. I don't know if you can see this very well. I'm literally right now going through the process with the team of, right, you're going to watch the lesson, review the guidebook, and explore the resources. That's the same for everyone. And then it's going to be complete this worksheet too. Do this thing so that you can. So we're going to really, we hear you, and we're constantly every year iterating. We too don't have it all figured out how to, right, show you the map around each lesson and help you put that together in your own personalized way. All right. Does that help a little bit? Most important, if you're feeling unclear, overwhelmed, like, hey, I'm not overwhelmed, I just need to figure out what to do next. Understand that those unanswered questions are a signal to step into that space. Ask us a question, pick something and go, talk to a peer. That is your sure tail sign that you need to turn into the skid and do something. So the signal to your brain is, the response to uncertainty and overwhelm is not panic and freak out. The response to uncertainty and overwhelm is getting clear, getting focused, and getting to work. And if you can do that, like Adam, right, at some point you won't think, this part will be like a non-starter. It'll just be like, what am I working on next? So hopefully that's a little grounding on the theme of today's call, which is implementing change. How do you take moving parts with or without limitless? Without us, it would be more overwhelming. You just wouldn't see all the parts at once. How do you pull those together? Think of like a connect the dots puzzle. We've got all the dots. You're going to draw the lines. And so the really exciting thing is each of you is going to do that in a slightly different way. So our guest today, Jed, is on the line. Levine, who's also one of our alumni. He's in the program again this year. And we asked Jed to join us to share how he iterated and organized and dot-to-dotted, if you will, some of those Q1 concepts around how could he just organize them and capture them and codify them in a way that really resonated with him and helped him to get his flywheel turning. So this is a really good example of how to translate ideas on your own. And then when we see good ideas, we come back and we share them with you. So Jed, are you on the line?
I'm here.
All right, sir. Do I need to turn control over to you, or do you just want me to be your Vanna?
I think I can kick you out of your screen share and take over. I think
all that's right, awesome.
That works. How's that?
Perfect.
Okay. Perfect. All right. So yeah. Well, thanks a lot for having me. Like I said in the video intro, this was just a tool I put together as to serve as like a touchstone to keep me grounded in limitless, especially my first year, where there's just so much information and there's so many awesome things that you could be doing, and you want to start 50 things and accomplish nothing. So this really helped to slow me down and really get me focused on that foundation. And the other thing that it really helped too was that so many different lessons relate to each other. I was finding in a way, it's like, you know what, I wrote down these numbers over here when I did this lesson, but now I'm writing down a different number here. So this helped tie it all together. And I did find, and I don't know that this is necessarily a bad thing, is that the first time I went through these exercises, which are now known as the Basecamp lessons, I really felt I was going through the motions. Like I just was getting an answer down to get an answer down. And I think that's really okay, because when you put something out there, then I think mentally you start trying to defend that, you know, like, is that really important to me? And some things were, and some things weren't. So the biggest turning point for me in Limitless my first year was around April, when I went back and did these lessons. I'd completed them, but now having sat with what I had written down originally, it gave me a really good picture of, you know what, this is truly very important, or this other thing, maybe not so much. I think I wrote it down because it sounded good, but it's not really serving me in any big way. And I'm sure, like a lot of people, when you join Limitless, you hear about all these awesome tools and spreadsheets and all this great stuff you can implement. And I was very much only interested in that. But I quickly learned, well, it took me till April to learn, so like it's a third of the year, that without the vision, without the, you know, the tracks for the train to run on, it makes that other stuff a lot more difficult. Yes, it's still good, but I wouldn't have the same conviction in why I'm doing a one-page plan, why I'm doing surge meetings, if it weren't that it were fitting into my vision, right? We don't do surge meetings because surge meetings are fun and cool. We do surge meetings because it creates time, right? And I think, I hope it's one of Stephanie's most popular articles, the one on having agency over your time. That was a really important one for me to read. So if you haven't read that one, I think it's one of the best. So I haven't changed my big why in a couple of years. It still really serves me. Either that, or I'm right in Stephanie's target market of slow learners with deep pockets, because it's kind of been holding for me, and it's still super important to me. I felt I was just doing so many different things, and I just really wanted to simplify my practice so that I could create time, opportunities, and great experiences for myself and the people in my life. And I really do live that. So when it comes to creating a great experience with my kids, sharing a great experience with friends and family, that's totally one of the areas where the budget doesn't matter as much. We're going to make time for it. And I certainly have no regrets. You know, when you have young children, you think you're never going to get out of parenting. And my kids are 12 and 14 now. It takes a little bit of Starbucks and Lululemon persuasion to get my daughter, my 14-year-old, to hang out with me. So
I'm glad to know I'm not the only one.
Yeah. So you can't take that time for granted, for sure. So that's my big why. And I think about it every day. All these things I'm doing to create time, is that's the time I'm going to go skiing with my kids. That's the time I'm going to go scuba diving with the kids. That's the time I'm just going to, you know what, walk with my kids to school because I can go in a half hour late. That, you know, it's maybe not as sexy as I want to make, you know, $10 million a year and take 100 days off. But it's those moments that everything I'm doing in the program are for. So the big whys was a huge starting point. Next for me, what works for me is just prioritizing, like, what are three big things I want to do this year? And if I did nothing else other than these three things, I will have had a good year in Limitless. And for me, year one, it was just implementing surge meetings, defining who we serve and a service model for doing so, and starting to use one-page plans. And again, I want to share some practical tools in this. Hopefully that's interesting or some value. So I'll show you too, like, again, so often we think these have to be like these mega huge projects. But if you recall, in my big why, it was, you know, I say insanely simple systems and processes. So I really I think about it almost every day, that quote by Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, the author of The Little Prince. You know, perfection is achieved not when there's nothing left to add, but rather when there's nothing left to take away. Yeah. So I just want to show you, like, so define who we serve and our service model for doing so. Like, this is all I do for my clients. We run a fairly large business, licensed this from Carl. And then we do an asset map for them. We update that twice a year at our meetings. We do a one-page plan. And we have this tool to show if their goals are on track. That's literally all I do. And, you know, I personally manage about 125 million in assets. And then I own some other business that other advisors within the firm run. That's it. So you want to talk about insanely simple. Our clients are happy with that. It serves our market. And it is something that I can produce in fairly short order. And I can update after each meeting in even shorter order. So again, even just saying, you know, I want to start using one page plans and how we serve our clients. Well, again, that ties back into the big why, the simplicity in doing so. Right?
Well, I love just, you know, I say this all the time, and I think you really have to, like, there's, you know, intellectually knowing, and then there's like being knowing, where you have this moment where you've applied something here and then you go, oh, that's what they were talking about, right? That totally. Congruence. Jed and I were, you know, shooting the breeze before the call and really talking about how looking at this every single week just lays that pathway in his brain, like, keep it simple, work with the right clients, right? Like, over and over, your brain literally reorients. So the natural path of least resistance is it actually starts to move the needle and go, yeah, we shouldn't do that. It has to start to reorient to the goals that you're now clearly setting. And again, goals, Michael and I talk about this a lot. They don't have to be like, hey, it's this dollar amount or these days off. Aspirational goals, I call them outcomes, are the most motivating thing to your brain, right? Define who we serve and a service model for doing so, you know, efficiently and profitably is like, yeah, that's what I want. And it's something you can still, even though it's not specific, think SMART goals, you can absolutely measure to it, right? Like, oh, is this really a great client? Do they fit our service model? No, but we'd make $15,000 a year. But yeah, then they wouldn't fit anything we do. You start to see that differently. What Jed is doing constantly is consciously reinforcing to his brain the decisions that he's making and the habits he wants to build that are going to create those new levels of success. It turns out it works.
Totally. And I'll talk about that a little bit when we look at my weeks. And exactly to your point, there's like philosophically, this stuff's not hard to get,
yeah.
But the subtleties and the nuance, once you know what you want and why and how it's serving your bigger picture, like you can go deep on your weekly schedule. And I'm going to talk about that in a bit. So just out of curiosity too, I don't know if you're curious or not, but these are my big three priorities for year two. So like actively market to the right fit clients, develop and implement a high conviction investment philosophy and fee model, and finalize how we're going to like wow our clients with service and where we're going to add value. And so when I say, again, I'm going to try to show some practical tools that I used in Limitless as we go through this. So actively marketing to the right fit clients, like that just started with no stress prospect process. And because I'm super creative at Rockwater, we call it the no stress prospect process. if it ain't broke. And it, you know, you can look at that on the website because it's one of the limitless expressions you'll hear, I'm sure fairly often, is it rip off and deploy. So we stuck pretty close to the limitless, almost exactly to the limitless framework for the no stress prospect process, because no sense in marketing if you don't have a good way to bring those clients in. And so I think what's so important too is that you need to deliver on that process too, right? So we did, with our no stress prospect process, we follow it to a T every time. And then, you know, Adam will often speak about a text expander that Adam uses. We use something called Text Blaze. I don't know if one's better than the other or not. This is just the one we happen to use. But, you know, my whole no stress prospect process is in there. So it's so easy, right? So if we're having our 15-minute initial call, I just type in / no stress initial call. And I've got all my like point forms for my script that I'm going to use during that 15-minute call. Someone reached out by the website and didn't book an initial 15-minute call. Actually, I sent this one out just this morning. They get this email to book their initial call. follow-up items, you know, items that we ask for their initial call. So everything's so easy, right? It's just / discovery meeting, / no stress, you know, first step. So everything's there. So we've just use the tool from the website for the framework. We've put it on our website, we've put it in print, and then I put it in TextBlaze to, well, keep it consistent. And so make sure we're giving the client the experience that, hey, you saw this was our process. This is exactly what you're going through. Because I think that's so important that they actually experience what you put out there. Developing a high conviction investment philosophy, that was important for us. Our funds were kind of a mishmash before. And we just said, hey, we're going with passive with some factor tilts, take it or leave it. And 100% of clients were okay with it. But that simplified our practice because now we have just three models. And if one of those three models aren't a good fit for you, then it means we're just not a good fit for you. Like, no hard feelings. You might think active management is the way to go. And hey, that's awesome. But us having conviction in our investment philosophy, again, goes back to that big why of we are simplifying things. We run a really, a fairly large portfolio. And we have two funds in our portfolio. That's it. And then if
and the thing I so love about that, Jed, is Adam talked about this at the kickoff, I think, Adam, in one of the calls, right? When we're so hardwired that when we don't get the prospect, it tends to feel bad. I want you all to just notice and reflect on how zero reaction there was in Jed when he said, yeah, like some people just want a more active portfolio, like no big deal, it's not for us. Like Jed, I just, it makes me so happy and proud. Like 100% acceptance, zero resistance. What you didn't hear was no protecting, no proving, no hiding, no defending. Like, you know, like it was just like, whatever, man. And that's, as you get more, that's alignment of clarity. When someone isn't a fit, like genuinely your brain goes, oh yeah, we don't, thank God we're not taking on that client, versus, oh, what if I lose that client? So I want to note on that, because like Adam, that's not where Jed started, but it's just so cool to see just that consciousness and awareness and complete comfort with, right, building your ideal practice.
Absolutely. And I know you know this, but guess what happens when you speak to what you do and how you do with a lot of conviction?
Gravity.
People don't push back because you have so much confidence, right? Like, yeah. Carl Richards always says, you know, have an opinion. Like, hey, Jed, what do you think about investments? Well, we could do this right now. And, you know, the tech sector could, like, no, here's how we invest, take it or leave it. And again, there's so much consistency in this. If you look at my script for my no stress prospect process, you can see that. Okay. I basically say something along the lines of, like, you know, we invest on evidence, not trends or fads or hot stock pickers. If you're the type of person who's going to be calling the office to ask about Bitcoin or marijuana stocks or GameStop, we're going to drive each other crazy. And I can tell you right now, we're not going to be a good fit, right? So like, put it out there, right? Because it's you're saving each other time. But again, it still ties back to the big why. And so just in the evolution and how this develops, these are my top three for this year. I still want to fine tune them a bit, but I'm just sitting with them for now. I want to be an insane person when it comes to time blocking. It's like, this is what the calendar says for this hour. The building better be on fire if I'm not following this exactly. Really getting big on those monthly client touch points. We want to refine those a little bit and right size my practice. So for all three of those things, I guess my point is like, if you only did those in any given year, like you've had an awesome year. Right. So just jumping ahead, I keep this in here just to remind me of the framework that we're working within Limitless. You've all seen that. I won't spend a ton of time on this, but again, it's just, you got to simplify what you're solving for is, you know, your 3-year vision. You should be able to fit it on a post-it if you want to burn that in your brain and remember what you're solving for. And then again, it's good for me to read my mission and vision and values weekly. I read my Limitless Life booklet every Monday morning because it's it's almost cliche, right? Company does a big retreat to form their mission and vision statement. They do a 3-day offsite, work really hard on it, go home, stuff it in a drawer, and 6 months later, not a single person there could tell you what it said, right? And I actually use this too, to the values piece, to speak with my team at our meetings to, you know, I'll just talk about like, hey, you know, when you talk about a growth mindset and never ending improvement, like, what are you doing in your role to demonstrate in that? Or how can we support you in being able to develop that this year? And then super, super important tool for me that I really live by is the one-page business plan. So, you know, you'll talk, Stephanie, I'm sure mentions often the, you know, we underestimate what we can accomplish in 3 years and overestimate what we can accomplish in one. So my framework that I use for the 1 year goals is, and I think it might just be a good starting point if you're wondering, is I always have one goal related to revenue, one goal related to client service, and one goal related to my time off. Because at the end of the day, those are three pretty broad categories, and we're generally all solving for things in those three areas. You might have different goals, but I think as a starting point, that's how I would think about it. Revenue, time off, client service. Oh. And, you know, ironically, you know, client service leads to more revenue, more time off. So it's a good thing. And then a mistake I made with this too, even though we were warned about it in the presentation, was trying to have like something for everything every quarter. So keep it simple, because the, you know, I was saying to Stephanie before the call that like that it's very anticlimactic, but like the best thing that had the biggest impact in my life in Limitless was just when I decided that under my out of office time and creating capacity that I wasn't going to work any more weekends. I wasn't going to dare set foot in the office. Literally situation where my daughter, there's an Amazon package delivered to the office on a Friday. She really wanted it. My admin assistant let me know it was here on Saturday. It's like, here are the keys. Here's the alarm code. You're going in the office to get it. Because before I started Limitless, if you added back in all the Saturdays I worked the year prior to Limitless, I had -4 days off. After just my first year of Limitless, I had 70 days out of office and revenue was up. So sometimes these seemingly small things like big whoop, you're not going to set foot in the office on Saturday or Sunday. Well, huge impact on my life and it's much better for it. So no. I think often we think like, okay, every quarter I'm going to do these 8 modules and we're going to revamp the website and we're going to launch a new marketing plan. It's like, just take it easy and really decide, you know, what am I solving for and what's going to move the needle on that?
Yep. Well, what I love about that is you notice, right, he's got the key objective. He's got the goals or outcomes. That's why we have that middle layer there, right? We can go 70 days at it, but it's like how, it's really the how layer. How are we going to get this to happen? And then that bottom section are the actions that you can take. And again, like quick committees is not a 90-hour project. I like the way that Jed, for the things that he was scheduling out, right, in that Q1, it was, these are the things that I'm going to do, right? And then the how goes behind it, and that's the work that you spend, right, implementing your plan. So I think that's great, Jed.
Great. And then just, I've just moved the mapping your business vision. I just moved that into a Google Sheet just for my own convenience. But if you look, like, When I do my quarterly business review, I've kind of trimmed it down to matching the mapping your business vision, because for me, those were the things that were truly important. And I'll go on a bit more in a second. This again is just in here as a reminder to me. And I think this is really cool, is that just reminds me how few days we have to work, right? So, you know, there's 365 days in a year, obviously. You know, if you factor in your weekends, we have 9 stat days here in Canada. And if you have 8 weeks out of office and 30 Fridays off, well, you are not working half the year, right? So it's kind of cool to think, even just at the 70 days out of office, when you add in weekends and sad days, it's like, hey, 50% of the year, I am like free.
So, it's pretty awesome when you think about it, right? Because you feel so much less tethered to it, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just a good reminder when you are working, make sure you're working to your best. Yeah, nice. Morning routine is, I just think, so important. Just, you know, there's lots of research. A lot of people know a lot more about it than me, but there's that idea of bookending your day, like morning routine, evening routine. There's just so much research coming out on this, how systems are so much more important. Like there's just an article in the Wall Street Journal saying that going to bed at the same time and waking up at the same time, they're just proven that it's more important than how much sleep you actually get. Being able to set a rhythm for your body outweighs that extra hour of sleep. So for me, whatever you can, you know, turn into a system, do. Yeah. And I wanted to mention earlier too that my kind of epiphanies for Limitless were, year one was having a vision, so important to every other goal. But year two, my big epiphany was systems are so important, and having a system is exponentially more important than how good the system is. Like, I don't know, I bet you my no stress prospect process, I bet you there's tons of processes out there that would wipe the floor with it. But guess what? It works, and it works well, and I follow it the exact same way every single time. So I know if there is a hiccup in the process or a certain stage isn't moving well to the other, I know exactly where the problem is. So that was my big epiphany year two, is just turn everything that you can into a system. Yeah. Because that's the only way to evaluate it. And going back to my big why, it keeps it simple because you're doing it the same way every single time. And year three epiphany, I'll TBD. I'll let you know. I think it's going to do something around time. And I'll just jump ahead too. So again, it's pretty obvious doing your annual calendar, days off first. And then when you look at your weekends, your stat days and your holidays, it gets pretty obvious that it's like, hey, I've got to find some room to squeeze in here for these appointments. Just finally here, just wrapping up, I was talking about the nuances of even on your weekly planner. That's something that surprisingly for me is that I've gone like deeper and deeper on how my week is structured and, you know, how I want to be working when I'm here. And again, you talk about the overwhelm with that can happen in Limitless. Like, there are entire coaching programs that are just based around this, right? Like, I just read a great book called The 12-Week Year. And they, you know, they've got a coaching program. It's basically like your annual calendar, your ideal week, and your quarterly planning. And that's your program, right? So you can get really in depth with this stuff. And yeah. I'm at the point where I think Stephanie, you were mentioning earlier, like first time you go get through Surge, you know, just, hey, that's going to be the messy one. You know, debrief what worked well, what didn't work well, what should we keep doing, what do we need to change. But I have found, and this is the like going from philosophical to nuance, like I'm really fine tuning my week to where like I just love it. Like learning certain things about myself, like I do better when I take a full hour for lunch. I used to eat at my desk and I'd rather try to finish earlier and not take an hour for lunch. Guess what? It doesn't happen. But when I live 7 minutes from the office, I go home, take the dogs for a walk, maybe, you know, just read for 20 minutes, come back, I'm killing it. So I've found, and probably this will be a 2025 Limitless thing, that I like my day where I'm going to come in, work for 3.5 hours, take a full hour lunch, come back, work hard for 3 hours, and do that 4 days a week. And life is good. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you can go through the motions of setting up your week, and then you can really get involved to like, how am I at my best? How does this fit best for me? And it does become more nuanced over time. And again, not sure where to start. It's in the lessons. Like, Monday's a good work on the business day. And I've stuck with the recommended framework. Like, Monday I work on the business and I do my file prep for the following week, not the current week, to give my admin time. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, when you try to see clients, And Fridays, like I call it, you know, plans and promises. So any financial plans that I need to update, any promises made to clients, I've looked at those. And once that's done, like just go home, go do something you enjoy and say, so nothing profound on the other weeks as well. So I'm probably over time. All right. But
no, you're right on time. Actually, we're going to have some time for questions, which is great.
Perfect. All right. I'll stop share here.
Great. And I know we've got a few, Rashani, Michelle, Jim, Jim, you, I think yours kicked in first. Why don't you, you wanted to ask about the worksheet?
Yeah, Jed, great stuff. I feel like I'm on the same path right where you're at with all this stuff, just not as good as you. But what is the worksheet with your kids? That stood out to me at 7:30 a.m.
Yeah. So I, that was a COVID thing. So during COVID, like many parents, I realized we probably didn't want to be homeschoolers. So my wife and I had a discussion like, okay, during COVID, like this is getting crazy trying to do their school online. We're like, what could we do to make sure they're okay? So we thought, okay, we're going to make them read for 20 minutes with us every day out loud. We're going to make them write a paragraph every day and they're going to do a math worksheet front and back. So we just found some homeschooling course. It was called Math UC. And you can order like the text and we just did a worksheet with them. They have, you know, 30 units per subject. And I think there's like 6 or 7 worksheets per unit. And I just kept it up after that. Because we figured, you know what, let's keep up their reading, writing, and math. And, you know, those other subjects will take care of themselves. And so they both got straight A's in math. So, great. And I know they didn't get it from me. So it's in the worksheets.
Rashani, you had a question?
Yes. Hi, Jed. Thank you for sharing your limitless journey. I was curious, what is a monthly check-in with clients? Is it just a phone call or do you send something?
Yeah. So we don't do a check-in every month, not like a phone call check-in, but we try to have a touch point every month. So for example, you know, 2 of the months of the year, that's their review meeting. The following month is them getting a copy of their asset map, one page plan and am I on track piece. We also do a fun thing. Once a year, we send them a copy of their investment policy statement with a Rockwater branded Starbucks gift card. With Starbucks will customize it all for you. So we say, we know reading your investment policy statement's about as fun as a root canal. So here's coffee on us while you read it once a year. So just a nice way to, you know, touch on their risk tolerance and investment policy statement once a year. Beneficiary review. So it's stuff like that. All highly scalable. And it's just keeping us in front of them.
Yep, that's great. Michelle, you had a question, and if anyone else has one, feel free to just jump in. Got a few minutes to pick Jed's brain.
I just wanted him to explain his plans and promises.
Yeah, so that's just a term I use for myself. So if I promise a client like, hey, I'll look into that and get back to you by Friday, great. Or if it's the plans part is just updating their asset map, one page plan, and am I on track piece that we do after the meeting. And then just basically anything that I said I would do for clients, I carve out time for that. So especially during surge, your follow-up to surge can be what puts you off the rail and distracts you from other things. So for me, it's just about setting the expectation. Client saying like, yay, I'd be happy to send you that article I was talking about on such and such. You'll have it by Friday afternoon. So it's just that type of stuff. It's more cleanup of my client facing to-dos and updating their plans.
Great.
Thank you.
Good question, Michelle. Any other questions for Jed? Anyone? I don't know if you got your, I always try to figure out, there's my reactions. Who got some good ideas from that around just how to kind of codify and apply some of the limitless concepts in a way that you can revisit and reinforce in a way that will be helpful to you? Yeah, cool. Awesome. Yeah. No, it is. The first time I saw it, I thought that's really, really cool because he's just taken the pieces and put them together in a way that he can review and reinforce over and over and over again. It's hard to make exceptions when you're looking at what you're doing and why you're doing it week after week after week. And Jed, I just think it's great. Just you'll notice if you read when we talk about objectives and outcomes for the year or the quarters, that's what we mean, right? Like it's not like check lesson box client service model. Why Jed's doing that is wrapped into his goals, right? Build an efficient service model, right? Like you feel like build a wow client experience, and then all the steps are what's behind that. So as you reflect on your year and your priorities, like you start to see a couple of big priorities are going to really move the needle, and there's some implementation work to do. And as you get those really anchored, every call, you're going to pick up something, right? Every inbox, you're going to pick up something. But those are just the cool things that you pick up as you go. The core is, and I think Jed's book does a really good job of just codifying, here are the three priorities for the year, and here are the decisions and systems I'm using to align with those priorities. The time system aligns with the priorities, right? Like the service model aligns with the priorities. That's the congruence where things really start to work. So Jed, thank you very much for that. Allison's also, I know you guys are eager to get the trail map and the summit action plan. So Allison just dropped the summit action plan in the chat if you want a head start on that. And then we'll post the trail map for each lesson and the sample action plan in each of the mindset, vision, and time lessons. So it's there for you. It will be in the next Inbox Insight. And Allison, and we'll obviously put it on Tribe. So you'll have both the path and the example action plan. And that genuinely tells you what you need to do this quarter beyond clarify. So what Jed really did was took clarify vision, right, and put his vision into a book. That's how he personally connected the dots between his vision, his habits, and his accountability, which is why I know it seems like, oh, it's a cool book. But the reason that I so much love it is because he's taking three of those objectives and integrating them into one place where he's just constantly reinforcing what he wants to do and why it matters to him. And you see him just getting really calm and consistent and how he shows up. I'll attack this priority. And then you get a confidence where you don't go, oh my God, do I think I'm going to do that? You go, this is what I'm going to set out to do this year. And then even if you don't have the middle and the end, right, Ian or Misty, you'll be like, Adam and I don't have the middle or end. Michael doesn't have the middle or end. We just have historical evidence that says knowing the beginning and the outcome will figure out the middle, and our brains don't freak out as much. And just so you know, when we do new stuff, our brains ask the same question, right? I was on the phone with Michael and I'm like, I don't know. Do you think it'll work? And he's like, I don't know. Like, I don't have 100% certainty that the idea is going to execute the way it is in my head. But that's the point of what we do. Like there is something about you that said, I'm going to go start a practice and I don't have to have everything mapped out for me. And when I did, I didn't agree or like it, but we also don't like not having it mapped out. So let's pick up from there. I want you guys to really think about that concept and how you can apply it. And again, it doesn't necessarily have to be the Limitless Life book. It has to be what's your way. Hold on, I got to play this again. And I've got all these little boxes on my screen slideshow. Phew. All right. That should work. It's how can you connect those dots? You can follow, right, the templates and the samples. No issue. Jed got a little creative and said, here's how I want to apply it. Jed, we got creative because, you know, we love branding around here. We put your book in an actual book. So we're just going to scroll through those slides here. I thought it was kind of cute that we actually put it in the book. But you can start to see, like, if you look at that every week, it's reinforcing those foundations for success. That's why we call them base camp goals. Get clear, get focused, get to work. They're all baked into that mindset, but in particular, the vision and time lessons, because we know if you apply those strategies, they have a high likelihood of working. It just tends to be what happens. So here is, as we talked about, your goals for the quarter. Adam, feel free to jump in here too, because I know you, right, you do this still every year. And the cool thing is Adam, like Jed, he doesn't overcomplicate it, right? When he thinks about his vision and why. Adam, do you want to just share a little bit about how you're going through that process when you started and how you're going through it now?
I've democratized this a little bit more as the team has grown. And I think this goes back to the vision where it's even back then it was quote unquote, just Kathy and I, and the team has evolved to that point where now I go into the beginning of the year with my own personal goals, but I'll also reconcile them against the goals of the team as well. So we'll use a version of this and start putting into place the things that we're going to be working on each quarter, which Jed brought up the quarterly year. I can't remember that book. I started reading it and then honestly, I didn't finish it. I think I only got maybe a third of the way through it before. I was like, I've heard this story before. 12-week year. There we go.
Yeah.
We break down our quarterly, or we break down the annual goals into our quarterly rocks, to take a page out of Gino Wickman and EOS playbook. And we track them on Asana. It's a board. It's Adam's rocks, John's rocks, Kathy's rocks, Kate's rocks. Yeah. It's lather, rinse, repeat. I think the biggest challenge that advisors have in this process is, shocker, newsflash here, we overthink it. It doesn't have to be that complicated. It really doesn't. We just figure out what's the next. It doesn't have to be the best. It's just what's the next. And I think sometimes we mix those up. It's like, well, the first thing that has to be worked on, the first thing that I have to work on has to be the absolute best thing. And we sometimes get into that paralysis by analysis of, well, which one's the best one that I should work on first. It's like, don't do that. Just work on the next thing. Next,
yeah, and there are some things where there's an order, right? Like, you don't want to update the website before you get clear on your client profile. But to Adam's point, outside of things like that, which should, I think, right, are fairly obvious to most of us, is the next best step is taking one. Because right now, what you're doing more than anything is breaking the pattern of the status quo. Adam and I and the team are working against every year that you've been alive in the way that you do things. That's the resistance that we're facing. Okay, how do we articulate the information? How do we communicate it? Let's put, like, ask the team, ask Adam, like, all I do is sit around going, how do I make it simpler? How do I make it easier? How can we connect more of the dots? Because we know the actual work, once you start, the connect the dots is more than enough. Once you start on surges, there's more than enough there to get you started. And to know what questions you have or gaps to fill, it's pretty easy here to get specific, like, how should I do this or this? Like, we do that all day long on Tribe and in calls. It's the getting started part. So if you have not picked something, anything, I don't care what you pick. The wrong thing to do is to not do something. Our brain goes, what about this? What about this? What about this? And we do nothing. The most right thing to do is pick something to do, because that momentum and that energy and the moving forward will get you to the next thing, Rashani, where you're like, oh, well, I could have probably done that later, but I got that out of the way. And now the clarity comes from taking action. The clarity does not come from staring at the paper, wondering what to do. And if you really get stuck, as you know, right, raise your hand and ask for help. So here are the questions that we want to invite you to ask yourself right now. Deep breath. We're talking about implementing change. We're 1 month in. Some of you have hit the go button and you're already raring. Some of you are just, you know, sitting here wondering how to get it right. And as a result, right, that's how we get it wrong, by not. So do you have a clear and compelling vision? Jed shared a great example of, it doesn't have to be, I want to build this kind of firm with this many people and this many dollars. It just has to be a compelling vision to you, right? Your big why is the start of that. Model practice is the single most effective exercise for getting to that vision. Like, how big do I want to be? How many clients do I want? Like, Jed's model is this much revenue, this many clients, this much time. That tells me everything else I need to know. In order to make this much money with this many clients, I have to charge this much. In order to charge this much, I have to deliver this kind of value. Okay, who's the client I'm delivering that value to? Does that work? Yes. Okay, if yes, go market everything towards that client. Like, in one sense, it's really simple, but our brains get all clogged up. And I remember, Adam, like, there's a, I think you did, you shared your journal post recently on Tribe, which is great. We should put that in an inbox, Allison. You know, 9 or 10 months of like what and how and what and how. And when he finally just did something, it was like, psh, off to the races. So if you're feeling that initial resistance and the, I don't know, just understand, like, I could map everything out for you. You still have to take that first step. So hopefully this gives you a starting point. Like, you're going to go into the vision lesson. You're going to download model practice. You're going to write. And here's what I want you to really see about this. I'll show you in just a moment, is to Jed's point, you don't have to worry about the bottom half of the sheet. Your Q1 is already defined for you. You're working on vision and time. Mindset's ongoing awareness at this point. Right now, your job is to have a vision, right? The culmination of that is your one-page plan or your model practice, if that's the level of clarity you've got. And then to start taking agency over your time. And that's where the other two pieces come in. Do we have happy, high-performing habits? Our thinking defines our feelings, right? Ultimately, what we do over and over again forms our thought habits and our behavior habits. Are we checking email 17 times a day? Are we actively doing $50 an hour work, even though we have people who could do it for us, right? Are we checking in with ourselves in the morning? The research all says how you start your day sets your day, right? Are you actually taking some step to do things to put yourself in a happier, higher performing zone? Not all the way to me, like to Jed's point around calendar. My first calendaring was like big blocks, days. Now every minute, literally, of my day, and it doesn't mean I don't have flexibility, but like every minute of my day is blocked. I'm hiring a new EA right now. So I was looking at my calendar with a client the other day to schedule something. And he was like, wow, that's a lot on your calendar. And I said, watch this. And I clicked the button, right? Because I have multiple calendars, my model calendar, my calendar, stuff that comes in from Asana, EA. And I just clicked it. And like all the stuff around the beginning and the end went away, because that's not stuff I should be doing because I normally have an EA. And he was like, oh, I was like, yeah, that's my normal schedule, but I'm down an EA. So when you get really dependent on somebody and they're not here, all that work comes back, right? We should get a system for that. So hopefully this action plan helps you. And then the big ticket item on the back end is, what are your accountability systems? How are you making sure? Jed built an accountability system. That's what he actually built. He built a system that said, I'm going to look at the stuff that I said mattered every week to remind myself that it mattered so I can make decisions that align with what I say mattered. I'm going to make sure the tongue in my mouth and the tongue in my shoes are actually moving in the same direction. So here I broke it down for you further. And I even got some cool AI graphics to make a custom sign, which I was pretty stoked about last week. That was my aha. As I'm geeking off an email, it was free time, so I was allowed to do it. I was just like, oh, what's this AI button do? And you have to work with it quite a little bit, trust me. But your goals for this quarter, as we talked about, right? Clarify that vision and then strategies, elevate your email. Success shifter for accountability, daily practice for habits and accountability. So under clarify vision, right? Your outcomes, right? Should be a big why, a business vision, right? Or model practice. Like those are just exercises to get you to your version of the one-page plan. Jed just uses the three-year vision. Fine. He still translates it into that one-page plan. And then in your case, right, Jed added the Limitless Life book to really review that vision and reinforce it over time. Creating positive personal habits. Do you have a daily practice, you know, morning meditation or journaling or what? Adam journals, right? Especially when he's facing challenges, he'll tell you, like, it's his go-to. He has positive personal habits. I had an industry leader, a name that you would all recognize, reach out to me last week. And I spent an hour and a half on the phone with this person because they were going through a major business issue crisis, like legit crisis, like the kind of thing that would curl your toes. And I said to this person, I'm so glad that you reached out. What is it hardest for successful people to do?
Ask for help.
Yeah, it's really hard for everyone. Genuinely, it doesn't get easier unless that's the habit. Remember that quiz we took in the beginning? What was the moral of the quiz?
Ask for help.
I have all the answers and no one asked for help, right? I was like, look, you did the hardest thing. You reached out to someone in your support system. All the research shows that two things, right? Coaching and community help us with crisis and change. Limitless is a support system. Some of you have reached out. Some of you, I'm going to encourage to do that, right? But look at those personal habits. You're not going to get to my level or Adam's or even Jed's out of the gate. Notice how they talk about their year one. I started here. It's kind of like going to college, right? Bachelor's, master's, PhD. We're going to give you that bachelor's 1.0. You're going to see the view of everything. Bridget's going to decide, hey, you know what? I really got to double down on the vision. And that's where I'm going to put a lot of my energy. And here's one habit and the accountability system. Like you don't have to go all in on everything, to Jed's point. Building accountability. We'll talk more next month around the KPI worksheet. So we're staging it out. But your success shifter, if you haven't gone into that, that's a fabulous personal accountability system, because that's the piece that says every day, did Jed do what he said he was going to do to be more successful? Did Jed not do the things that were going to hold him back? And you have to look yourself in the face every day and ask that question, which tends to shift your behavior in the direction that you want it. So if you're looking to like print this out, that's your cheat sheet for the quarter. Like if you do these things, you will have a lot more clarity, you'll have a lot more focus, and you'll have a working system to keep you on track. And that will help you figure out what to do next. Without the clarity, you're just going to be picking things, which Adam will tell you still works great. Like it really does. Because everything we're giving you is something that you need ultimately to implement in your practice, right? It's just the order in which you want to implement them. So here's an example. Adam, I think Adam's one page plan is still a notepad page, and that's totally okay. It's whatever works for you. Literally.
I have like, I'm an analog guy. Everything that I've done in Limitless literally fits inside this Manila folder. And if I really be honest, I take out my Colby score because I have that. I have my wins folder, if you remember that, Steph, from our notes that we did. And then, yeah, everything else is literally boiled down to an analog. Yeah, if I go back to...
So Jed has a book, Adam has a folder.
I have a folder with, yeah the 2018 business revenue model. Yeah, these numbers have changed just a little bit since that time period. But
it's really fun to look back, right? When you
it is actually a lot of fun to look back. The
and now you're like, oh my gosh. Yeah. I remember when we first started, one of the coaches talked about like he would just walk up to the slot machine, right? I just got so good at it that I could just pull the slot machine. And that's really where Adam is now. He just knows if he shows up and pulls, if he wants to double, he can. He's just going to go in and right, figure out how to pull the lever on the slot machine. And it's going to, you know, it might not be easy all the way, but it'll work. So the thing I want you to really pay attention to in February is your one page plan. If you want to keep it more strategic with model practice or business vision, totally okay. But we need that beacon, right, to guide and pull us forward, because that's our vision accountability, right? We can spend a lot of activity and energy doing a lot, but we don't know if it's aligned with the outcome we want to create until we define the outcome we want to create. And again, if getting really specific is challenging, don't. It will get better and easier. You'll get clearer and clearer. It's what's that spot on the horizon that you can get clear on. So this top half is really the most important, right? Your big ticket goal. The goals and outcomes, right? Like Jed, I want to take 60 days off. I want to simplify. I want to grow revenue. And then your objectives for the year become, hey, I'm going to maximize my time, focus on it, right? And then each quarter you go, what am I going to do to move in that direction? Some of them, like Jed, will just be decisions, quit the committee. Others will be, right, build out the service model, put it into the tech. That one will take a little bit more. Don't judge them. It's just, what are those actions? So again, for Q1, you're set. These are your actions, right? And they're, again, they're all in each of the lessons. Hopefully this gives you that 80,000 foot view of why we're doing each of them and how they go together. These are your base camps, because these are the foundations that any human needs to work most effectively, productively, and enjoyably. All the science and research says it, and you've yet to meet a person that says, you know, I don't have a vision, I have bad habits, and I'm horrible at accountability, and I'm loving my business and life, right? That doesn't happen. The question is how we get ourselves there. So if you're struggling with the details, don't worry about it. Everybody here can fill out this top section. Especially Jed did a great example, right? Those priorities, that's what's in these boxes, is just those big priorities. So don't let your brain turn it into a big, scary monster. When you were a kid and you always thought there was a big, scary monster in the closet, did you not know there really wasn't? Like, you knew there wasn't really a monster in the closet, but you were emotionally attached to that fear. Your parents could come in and open the closet door. Adam and I, Jed as an alumni, can come in, open the closet door and be like, see, no monsters. Not that big a deal. You're still in the big, scary monster phase. Breathe through it. Take those next steps. So we want you to get clear on your vision, and we're breaking this out. So we'll do worksheeting and other stuff next month. So if you're not there, don't worry about it. This month, it's vision and elevate your email. You don't all have an assistant to delegate it to. That's okay. It's that's why I called it elevate your email. Can you go to 3 times a day from 17? Because let's be honest, anything that needs to be known in less than a 3.5 or 4 hour block probably means somebody died and you'd get a phone call anyway. Right? Like, what's really the difference between 17 and 3? Can you get down to 2? Can you have someone on your team start to check it? Can you hire someone 10 hours a week just to check that? Can you do what Adam did and do the centralized inbox so that someone else is processing half of the stuff that you don't need to see? Can you put Sanebox in place? Can you limit, like, can you pick one? I'm not even going to say can. That is your coach assignment this month, to draft that one page plan and pick something that elevates your email. You don't have to feel like you have to do it all like Adam or I, because that will stop you. What you do need to do is pick one action in the direction of elevating your inbox. Adam, that probably was a game changer for you, right? Getting out of email?
Yeah, it's still a work in progress. Right? Or let me refer, like, as you start inserting more variables into the equation, the demands and the requests, you're constantly evolving, you're constantly training your EA. And when you change EAs, that kind of derail the process a little bit. But yes, when you get to that point of even just systematizing and organizing the inbox, if you're the one doing that, implementing what worked well for me was taking the getting things done model, which is, again, in my folder here, I have a snip, or I have the cutout of it that you can see right there. It's the, just Google David Allen getting things done, and that's the workflow. So if you build that into your email inbox, just so that you have a place to drag things, implement that in Sanebox, begin there, and you'll be, I mean, if you're anything like me, you'll be like, oh, wow. I actually feel like I have control over the inbox now, instead of just reacting all the time to things coming in. When you have a system in place, that makes, you have to have a system to manage something. If there is no system, it's difficult to get a handle on it.
Level one email, like think year one, is getting a handle on the inbox processing system, to Adam's point, right? You're getting better at it. You're using Sanebox. You have an assistant check it, et cetera. Level two for all of you, don't feel like you have to jump there, is getting really clear about what actually shows up in your inbox. To Adam's point, right? We have a centralized inbox for coaching. I still have a private inbox, right? If Adam needs to email me, or right, Mark DeBurgeon or Michael, like, so it's really about making sure that you're only spending time on the things that are really warranted. And the problem with an inbox is you have no control over what's in it, which means you have no control over whether you're spending your time on the right things, which means getting out of the inbox and getting a filter, right? So however you get to, here are the things that Bridget needs to look at today, whether it's an assistant or Sanebox, right? You're just elevating until more and more you just get to a point where it's like, I've got clients who don't even do email. They just tell their assistant how to reply and off it goes. I've got one guy, he's like, all my kids need to know that I don't have, like, I want my kids to believe I don't have a phone. Like, I want them to genuinely believe that. I'm like, they're not going to see it when I'm with them. Like, look, goes in a basket and he walks away. And I'm like, okay, your wife must have phone and text, because there's always like kid stuff and class stuff and pickup stuff. And I was like, somebody's got kid stuff on text. But the idea is to really think about how you can create those new levels of success. When Adam started, he pulled out a yellow pad and he wrote down what he thought his vision was. I need this much more revenue, right? Boom, boom, boom. But he didn't worry about how he was going to do it. He just got clear on what he wanted to create for himself and his family. So these should sound pretty familiar to you at this point. 10 steps to create new levels of success. This isn't Stephanie and Adam thought it was a fun idea. There's actually a massive amount of research and studies around each of these, which is how they made the top 10 list. 1, self-reflection. What am I doing? Is it really working for me? Is it feeling good? Am I getting in my own way? Right? Clear goals. We just spent a bit of time talking about that. It's a lot easier for your brain to get on board with helping you get to goals when it just has like a general idea of what you actually want to accomplish. If you can say Chicago, great. If you can say, you know, Barome's Pizza on 47th Street in Chicago, also awesome. But Chicago works, right? To Jed's like, I want a simple, efficient practice that elevates my life. Like, you can still use that as a benchmark. Is this simple? Is efficient? Is it elevating my life? No, it's $50 an hour work. I should probably not be doing it. Create a plan. Adam's plan was on a yellow pad. We've turned that into a nicely branded one-page plan. If you like organization and structure, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It matters that you get it out of your head, you write it down, and you set it, because that's what moves your brain into action. Replace bad habits. Oh, go ahead, Adam.
I think the other thing that, and I'm just finishing up a thought here in chat as well about, you know, where to begin and which form, which, you know, there's so many different tools and templates that we have in the library. And what I would encourage, and this, again, I don't want this to sound redundant and being the same as what I said earlier, maybe this rhymes. Don't underestimate the amount of clarity that you will get on what your next step is going to be by just taking action on something. If I go back to the first year, just starting and get, you know, again, we had the why, and then it was a matter of, all right, well, what's the fastest path to get to that why of making an extra $100,000 or so. It's like, well, I need to work on my fees. Okay. I could either raise my fees on new clients, or I could go back to my existing clients. I'll go back to my existing clients. Okay. How do I do that? Well, I can go back to the fee lesson, or I can talk about, okay, how do I do that? I can get this. Like, when you just start asking yourself the questions. Of the dominoes that need to stack up. If I take the, like, that then led into having the conversations around raising fees. And then it came down to, if it's like, I'm going to raise fees, well, then what's the service model look like? All right, well, let's take an inventory of what my service model looks like. And well, okay, so I was kind of hodgepodge service model. All right, so now, and then that rate that went into the fee structure, which then led into the ideal client avatar, which then led down the niche path. And then when I started the podcast, then I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I started a podcast. It's like, I watched a couple of Pat Flynn videos on YouTube, and a friend of mine here in town, local, Justin Castelli, had his podcast, and him and I got together for lunch. And now he went some mixing board and all this stuff, and he edited from day one. I'm like, I know enough to know. I've been in this program called Limitless. I know I don't want to, they're all about ruthless delegation. So if you're going to edit your own, I do not even want to know how to open up GarageBand. So I'm going to edit. I'm going to have someone else edit. And then it was just a matter of, okay, the podcast then led into additional opportunities to speak, which then led into the opportunity to write. And so just when you start saying yes to one thing, or you just take action on one little thing, I know we've covered a lot in the retreat. We've covered some things today. There's ample resources in the library. It truly can be just writing down, all right, I'm going to work on this next. And put your faith and comfort in just taking that little bit of action, that the next thing will show up, as long as you're observant to that and look at it and looking for it. And if you feel like there's a gap there, that's why we're here. To Steph's point, and to who was it? Sue, you know, you posted, maybe you should move this to question to good vibes. Yes, please do that. We're here to help you take that next best step.
For sure. All right. How are you all feeling? Rashani, how are you feeling right now? You're on mute. Sorry. You're feeling quiet.
No, I feel good. I feel like I have lots of things I want to do next. So feeling good.
Awesome. Let's see. Anja, how about you?
Hi. I feel, yeah, that I have a path going forward. And the one thing I have to do is ask for help, because I have been looking for it on the website myself. But I think that you can easily point me in the direction.
Yeah. And I think, Todd, you had a comment on chat. Like, there are a lot of resources under each lesson, because we're giving you like samples and different versions of worksheets and like Jed sample. In the action section on each of the lessons are the core actions, and it will direct you to the very specific worksheets, right? Like, go complete the My Limitless Life, or those are the ones you want to focus on. Everything else in there is what we'll call supplemental, right? It's an example, a sample, a script. And I know when you log in and there's like 25 things, wait till you go into the prospect process folder. There's like lots of things, right? Because we have like a whole discovery guide filled with questions, like how to build out your whole meeting. Like, there's a lot of resources. So focus on the action section. Those are intentionally strikingly simple. Go read this guidebook, go do this worksheet, right? And to Adam's point, as you start digging in, you start connecting the dots. And if you run into, you know, you get stumped by something, then you just reach out in a call or inbox or tribe, and we'll be happy to help. So these are 10 steps that you're going to see integrated, or 10 concepts you're going to see integrated into Limitless over and over again. Stay accountable, right? That's your success shifter and your KPI worksheet, which we'll talk about next month. So don't feel the need to jump ahead. We're going to chunk you through it. Practice patience with yourself. When you feel overwhelmed, be like, I just joined a program where I'm turning everything upside down for a bit, and it's going to feel overwhelming, but I know that I'm going to lay this path brick by brick and it's going to be okay. I can be patient with myself. I don't have to, it took me X number of years to get it here. I'm not going to fix it in 30 days. Like, right? This too shall pass. I just got to show up and do the work. If I show up and do the work, right, it'll work. Seek support. Positive visualization, right? Really get clear on what you want to create. This is fantastic for that daily practice, which we'll talk more about next month. Celebrate small wins. That's why we start calls with wins, right? You need to every week ask yourself, what did I accomplish this week? Why was it important, right? You need to seed your brain with success over and over again in real life and in your imagination, because your brain does not know the difference between what's real and what's imaginary. It just creates whatever you think about. And consistency compounds. If you're getting outcomes that you don't like or enjoy, it means your thought habits, your behavior habits, or your business habits are compounding into an outcome you don't like. And we've got to go back and check the thought habit, the behavior habit, or the business habit to figure out what to unwind and put something more aligned and positive in its place, because we actually know that consistency compounds. So those are just core thoughts just to keep you focused. We wanted to end on sort of an inspirational high note for this week. I know it feels like a lot in the beginning, but hopefully with the stories that you've heard, Adam throughout the year, stories like Jed's, Jeff's on the line, Jim, you know, it really does, the plan will work if you work the plan. This quarter is about setting yourself up for success so that you can get clear with that vision. You can get focused on the three priorities that you really need to move the needle on this year, and you can get to work on your next best step. If you do that, everything's not just going to be okay. In a year, it's going to be unrecognizably better. You guys, thank you so much for the time today. Adam, as always, thanks for your insights. If you need help, support, you have questions, you need to get unstuck, Mindset calls on the 20th. Tribe and Inbox are there if you need them. You guys go forth, do great things. And remember, your life is now in session. Go make the most of it. Have a great day.